You know, Frank, I've just never been known as much of a cheater. You know, I did cheat one time.
Okay.
My second wife, and it cost me the marriage, you know. So since then, I've just never been much of a cheater. Just don't look at cheating the same way. You know, you got guys out there that can, you know, they cheat on their wife with their girlfriend. They cheat on their girlfriend with their wife. She got another girlfriend they're cheating on. I mean, it's just nuts.
Right, right.
You know, but I've never been made to feel as if I'm cheating on a bartender. But lately, we came back from Nebraska with the, you know, the whole Ryan bartender gig. You know, the dude just really took rock star care of us, treated us like royalty. And, you know, we get back here to Sheep Creek Lodge, and Robbie found out.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, he found out. And basically, he listened to the podcast. Robbie was not amused by the podcast. You know, the American Pie episode? That was pretty epic, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he's treating me a little different, you know. I'm still getting rock star treatment here, but you know, he's making me feel a little guilty.
Yeah, there's been strings attached. You have to, you know, kind of make amends to him.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, he's upset, man. Robbie's bummed. Welcome to the Everyday Sniper. You got Frank from Sniper's Hide, and I guess you guys are whining. It's been like 10 days or something since I put one up, and it's like, dude, I'm busy, man. I got shit going on. I'm like, back up in Alaska. Mark's here, right? We're doing our classes, and
We did a mover class.
We did a mover class. I think it went off excellent for a first kind of standalone mover thing. We used the Blink Troll system.
Thanks, James.
Yep, James Drayton. Got those from that Ken Scopin, and worked really well for us.
Yeah.
Little bit of a setup.
Our presentation was real. I think it was dynamic for what it is. You know, we had about an hour, 25 slides or so. But, you know, when you're paying for a course, you want to know the hows and the whys.
Right,
you
know? Right.
And I think we covered a couple things that make the how and the why.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough to figure out, like, because there's so many different variations on the formulas. You know, what do you include? What do you put in? And like, you know, we were talking last night, and Joe Butler wanted to know some of that stuff and the whys and, you know, get further down the rabbit hole. Because we wanted him out shooting. It's a one-day class. You're going to be out shooting. So we don't have a lot of time to go into a ton of theory. And there's just so many variations on the theory with it that I deleted them from the presentation. There was formulas in there. I had the time of flight formulas.
But you know what? We found that it really doesn't matter.
It really doesn't.
It doesn't come back to a formula. It comes back to fundamentals.
Yep.
Because if you can't execute fundamentals during smooth pursuit,
mm-hmm.
Which is a physiological term for what you're actually doing. You're pursuing a moving target in a smooth way. Your brain's working. Your eyes are working. You know, everything's working in unison with the
trigger. We have predator mode, and what's happening is there's a switch inside of our brain that does the hand-eye coordination when we're in that predator mode, and that's what helps us hit moving targets like that. And so Mark had pulled some medical information that explains it, so we put the... Because we talk about personal lock time. You know, there's a rifle system's lock time. And then there's personal lock time, the situation when one person doesn't have the same lead as another person. And so that is why we grabbed the smooth pursuit and put that in there. So that
I thought it worked out real well.
Yeah, that was excellent. Yeah. And what else did we have? That was that Blink Troll held, we did paper at 100. And then we did, we had two systems because James has two Blink Trolls. And you basically put a guide cable up, and you hang this little tiny thing. It only comes in a little Pelican case. You carry it on an airplane. Heck, it's so small. You know, you hang this little trolley on the cable, and it can hold like some up to like 40 pounds of steel.
I think it is. Yeah, pretty heavy.
And which, you know, I think the steel we put on it's 15 pounds or something. No big deal. And then we did paper at the 100, and then steel at 465. Is what we ran everybody, and then we did, you know, different changing speeds. We played with the erratic. We did a moving chaos like I used to do at Rifles Only, because the ranges steel at 3, 4, and 5 are permanent. So what we did was mover 3, 4, 5 back to the mover before it completed its pass. So you had to hit the mover, and then you had to hit to move on, and then come back to the mover before it made
and
one
we,
pass.
What we saw, the result of that was a lot of guys cleaning it.
Cleaning it.
Because I guess the concentration is there.
Yeah.
You know, when you're giving them three passes, when you're giving them 10 rounds and numerous passes, the concentration's not there. But when you tell them they have to hit it on this pass, then they have to move to these stationary targets and then move back before the next, they're cranking.
Yeah.
And you know, and basically we got a lot of guys
cleaned. The speed is what hangs a lot of guys up. Because like you were saying, when I was explaining sort of the competition mindset of a mover, where I was telling them ambush it as soon as it comes out, and then kind of go along and create that, you know, five hits a pass kind of situation. The speed is sometimes what trips you up. You go faster than you can control the rifle movement.
Which was my thought was, let's learn to ambush it. Let's learn to hit it first in the center of the field.
Right, right.
Or somewhere where you and I are also looking so that we can definitely see whether he's fore or aft. Mm-hmm. You know, with his
yeah,
miss.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But anyway, it worked out. Everybody got great hits. Lonnie, guy. Lonnie's 80 years old. He shot off a bench. And Lonnie got good hits, you know. Is he going to be, you know, go buy himself a mover and start shooting moving targets? Probably not. But he got a great education. He got his money's worth, and he's done something that's a little bit more dynamic than shoot steel targets or paper targets.
Yep. With Lonnie, it was funny because we weren't even thinking about it really, because we're doing all these other things. We're managing the moving target systems. We're looking at that. We're doing leads and doing this and doing that. We had two students in the class, and we didn't even really pay that much attention at the very beginning, that had second focal plane scopes.
Exactly.
And they were MOA.
Yeah.
So we had the only two students with MOA scopes were also second focal plane, and they had powered past their adjustment marks. Because on the second focal plane, the subtensions aren't correct.
And they chose a random magnification.
Yeah, they chose a random magnification. And we really didn't think about it at first until we went to this the steel, because Dave was like, his holds were completely off.
Wrong, yeah.
6 feet here, 4 feet there, 2 feet. I'm like, what's going on, dude?
So I'm trying to diagnose problems with his fundamentals. Is he sliding in the bag? What's going on? Is he not, you know, getting enough support? And what happened? How did we figure it out?
I looked and I went,
wait a minute.
Yeah, I said, is that a second focal plane? And he went, yeah. And I went, fuck. And I went, ugh. All right, dude, here's what you did wrong. And we fixed that and corrected that. And so it was a great learning thing. I got to put it in the slide. Now I got
to
put it.
We learned to look for it. They learned about what their scope's capabilities
are. Yeah, because I didn't even think about it, because almost everybody's been coming with brand new stuff. And this is like the repeat crew that keeps coming back. And even Lonnie had a brand new Night Force attacker. So I'm thinking it's front focal plane, because I'm looking at a Night Force attacker. And he showed up with it backwards, too. Wow. I felt bad. I turned it around for him. But it was a second focal plane version, and I didn't realize that until he started shooting.
Right.
And you were saying, like, no way, because Lonnie, what was your lead on this one, Lonnie? And he went one MOA.
I said, no way. No, there's no chance. Not at 80 years old. You know, not a chance. And that's only six, 7 inches.
Yeah, because he was second focal plane. Yeah. He was actually double.
He was one MOA.
Yeah.
He was holding the one MOA mark, but it was like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So that was pretty funny on one of those movements. And
we got 13 students coming in here. They're arriving now. They're starting to text me saying they're here at the lodge.
Yep. Just been busy, dude. I did 3 back-to-back classes for Mile High. We came back from our trip. You flew back from Mississippi to Alaska. I drove back to Colorado. And then, I went right to a Mile High class, had, you know, 2-3 days off. We did another Mile High class, and then I was getting on the airplane and doing this trip. So, yeah, I've been busy, man. I just hadn't been doing the podcast. And I don't know, man. Sometimes it's like I had said, I got to find certain things to talk about. I want to find people to talk to more than just keep saying the same shit over and over again. So we've been lining up some podcasts for when I get home, because this kind of is the end of our big travel season. We have the Treadproof crash. That's the makeup for everybody. All the COVID people who pushed into Treadproof. We have I think 12 or 15 people going to be at Treadproof in October. But that's our last travel. So I don't have to travel anywhere, big until that end of October Treadproof class. So that's good. I can get caught up and do all that kind of stuff. Then today we had a reunion shoot after a fun night of drinking last night.
Yeah, it was a late night. We burned it down last night.
Yeah, 1 o'clock. That's why we're a little slow. Yeah. Little beat.
Set up steel today. Set up ton of steel.
Ton of steel. And then we had the guys here for the reunion shoot. What do we have, like 12, 13 people?
14
people for the reunion shoot. Dude, having a blast with Chris Master and Mike Bender's Voodoo 22s. We were whacking shit wholesale at 500 yards with the Voodoo 22s. And these guys went and put clay pigeons at 3, 4, and 500 yards and cleaned them all with their 22s. I mean, how great is that? And you could see, and all people do is giggle when you shoot those because you can't hear a damn thing.
Yep.
Pretty you know, it's just a big giggle fest, and it's so damn fun. And now we had actually had wind out here today, holding.
I had 0.8 at 1,000.
Yeah, I had half mil at 1,000 yards, which was pretty big. So we had wind, so the little 22s were using 3 mils of wind at 500 yards. And so that's fun, man. You were shooting ELR with the 22s and doing this stuff. We're actually have wind calls and things blowing around. So, I mean, this is kind of a great range and location for the 22 stuff. So that's pretty darn good. But I don't know. What else did we see? What else have...
No breakdowns?
No. Everybody's been bringing good equipment. We've noticed such a great increase in equipment with students, which is, again, one of the reasons why I didn't even bother looking for second focal plane scopes, because it just didn't, it would have been Dave's, was the only one that flagged as a second focal plane when I actually looked at it. I swear I thought Lonnie's was front. I thought it was an attacker.
We'll do some scope tracking tomorrow because we've got a PR1 coming in.
How about that new board?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, Ted hooked us up.
Yeah, shout out to Ted, man.
Made a really professional, I think it's 40 mils. No, 15 mils or so tall, but it looks like a ruler. It's got mils on one side, MOA on the other. We attached it to a 2x4, stapled it to a 2x4. Now we're going to have something really nice. There'll be a photo of that tomorrow. Something.
Yeah, we put it in a target stand that we had a single foot with three legs target stand. And so now we created a tool.
Instead of a ruler with a mark on it,
yep,
we got something more professional.
So we have a fixture now for the ruler, which is cool, man. So we have the fixture for the scopes. We put the scopes on that. We have the range marked out at 100 yards exactly.
300 feet, really.
300 feet. And then now we have the ruler that Ted created attached to a board that goes into a stand, and we can lock it down and... Sure as shit, man. We could track everybody's scopes with a calibrated ruler down there.
Nice view of the mountain this morning.
Oh, huge!
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful fall. Everything's yellow. We got nothing but birch up here, or spruce. So all we have is birch is like a aspen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just goes from green to yellow and then falls. But everything's yellow up here. Mountain was beautiful this morning, man.
Yeah, good stuff, man. And then what else were we looking at? I don't know, man. Like I said, we've just been so damn busy, and you know we're just one place to the other to the other. You kind of want that 10 minutes to breathe and be like, hey, I need a little bit.
Well, next year's gonna be worse. Worse is better. I mean, next year's gonna be better. But hopefully, need this COVID to go away, man. You know, it's. Nobody up here, we're in Talkeetna or near Talkeetna, between mm-hmm. Willow and Talkeetna.
Yep, yep.
Nobody's really wearing a mask. Occasionally somebody will walk into the lodge at night with a mask on, and it's only...
Somebody who doesn't know, non-local.
30 seconds, they're taking it off.
That was, speaking of that, so in the airport, I actually went in the COVID line this time to see what was going on, because I fill out the paperwork online, because you kind of have to before you get off the plane. So... I go in the damn COVID line to see what they're going to say. I could have walked right past it. And so I go to the girl, and she's like, oh, your name? And I'll give my name. And she's like, okay, oh, I see you filed a plan. And I'm like, yep. And she goes, just follow your plan. Have a nice time. Well, that was it.
Yeah,
so it's like all this ridiculousness of these quarantines and put you through these lines and make you do all this stuff. And then they're just like, yeah, just do your thing, man.
Yeah, so, I get it.
Hang on. I got to hydrate up a little bit.
Yeah, we had a rough night last night.
Oh, I had a rough couple two nights, man. My,
you know what? One of the nastiest things on this planet is fucking Rumble Mints, Frank.
No, wait, it's Christmas in a jar.
Yeah, well, Christmas in a jar put you on your ass a couple nights ago. Yeah, there was a birthday party off campus, you know, just through the woods, basically.
Yeah, like about 10-minute walk through the woods.
Yeah, 10-minute walk through the woods. And Frank starts doing Rumple Mints schnapps. I stuck to my rye. And then he mixes Rumple Mints and starts drinking some rye, too. Next thing I know, Frank...
But we started off with, like, Truly's earlier in the day. Yep. I mean, we were probably 8, 12 drinks in, and then I started doing shots of Rumple Mints.
It was just one of those nights, man. Yeah. Every once in a while, one of those nights.
And that's why you're not getting podcasts, because I'm out drinking Rumple Mints shots, and Mark's going... Frank, don't do it.
Don't do it, man. You better slow down, dude.
It's a party.
Next thing you know, Frank feels something cold on his shoulder. He looks up, and it's the floor.
Almost, but not quite. So. It was close, but not quite. Yeah. We had a fire outside, and we were going in and out of the house. And it was so in between the fire and the door to the house was that truck. So at one point, when I started walking a little funny, a lot funny, I was holding myself up with the truck, and you yelled out, "Where's Frank?" I'm like, "Right here." You're like, "Oh, boy.
You got to go, buddy. You got to go."
I'm like, "All right, I'll go."
There ain't no Uber out here, so somebody volunteered to take him back to the
lounge. That was a rough one, and then last night was pretty good. So we're victory lapping it, having an end of season kind of stuff and doing that. I want to updates. I got a few updates. All right. So I grabbed that Garmin watch, the AB Garmin watch. I did the podcast with Brian. I set up my Garmin before I came. The watch shooting on 147 Hornadays. Dude, spot on.
How can they be that fast? I mean,
they blend the powder. They probably do a higher powder thing, almost like a super performance type blend. Because every time I've shot the 147s, they've almost always been just right around 2,700 feet per second.
Here at sea level, 7.9 is pretty flat for 1,000 yards.
Yeah, most of us are using like 8.6 to 1,000 yards with like a 143 grain. The 147s are only like 7.9 here. And so that's pretty darn flat for 6.5 Creed. But the watch was spot on, man. I'm digging back a bunch with AB. I'm having a lot of good luck. I'm doing it manual. I don't use the DSF. I don't do it how Brian does it. I do it my own way. But I've been having really good luck with it and enjoying it and pairing everything up. And when I get back, I got to pair the Terrapin to all this stuff because they've been adding so much connectivity to the Terrapin. The Terrapin will actually connect to the Garmin watch. It connects to Traceall. Traceall's working good. I was going back and forth with some of the guys. And when I had to like talk to them, I would pull my phone out and I would use Traceall. And Traceall has the update now that does the Terrapin. The Kestrel, the AB Garmin watch, it connects to the Terrapin. A bunch of new apps connect. Hornaday connects. All that stuff. So the Terrapin has been actually quietly doing a lot of upgrades to their software to increase their connectivity with other products and devices. So that's working fantastic.
Why are you talking about Traceall? Remember, we put that HUD display up. Oh. And tried to track our mover, which was moving about 45 yards from left to right, right to left. And it was only a 10-inch, it was an 18 by 12-inch plate, and we just couldn't find it. At 4X, all it gives you is 4X.
Yeah, we'd have to get closer. Make it work. We would have had to have gotten closer. Yeah. It couldn't reach and find the target at 465 yards. But the Traceall's HUD will work. You got to set the range correctly. Absolutely. We did it inside. I actually set it to 1 yard. And had James just do a walk, and it got him at a mile an hour and did all that. So you just got to make sure the yard is right, and that worked. But, yeah, I mean, I'm in a weird place with software. I don't know, because you know what? A lot of it is you and I, we're shooting the same stuff a bunch, so we know our dope. We don't really have to turn to it. It's a bit with the travel, so it is changing because I'm changing location, so I use my software a bit for that. But I had already recorded my data up here once before, so I know, and it was 8.6 again today.
I was telling guys today on the line, you know, these were seasoned guys. They've been with us a lot of time, and they came back for the reunion. If you're 8.6 at 1,000, and 1,000 is your limit, you got 86 is a number. 8.6 is 86. Well, really, you only have to remember like six or seven numbers between 86 and zero.
Right.
Zero being zero. 300 is always going to be about 1.9. Mm-hmm. So your 400 is 1.7. Your 500 is 2.5. 600 is 3.5. 4.6, 5.8, mm-hmm. 7.0,
yeah.
8.6.
Right.
You know, there you go. There's my dope all the way out to 1,000 here at the home range. Well, you've all got a home range. We've talked about this before, but simplify it for yourself. And today I was just razzing guys, you know, they're digging in their phones. I'm like, what are you looking for, man? Mm-hmm. The solution is in your mind.
Right,
you know,
right.
This is your home. Mind. This is your home range, man. You don't need to look in there for this, you know. So
I mean, that's the
it's
thing.
All fun.
Yeah, yeah. And so it but I like doing that, because when you rattled it off, you were just like, you know, 86, 70.
And backwards. I did it backwards.
Right, you're doing it like that, but he was using whole numbers. He wasn't doing the point. You know, so you just know 86 is 8.6, when he said 70, 7.0. And that was a good way to remember it, as far as what your data is. And you know, instead of putting the points in and stuff like that, it kind of makes that memory a little bit simple. So, yeah, that was good. So, update on that. Was hammering out this straight jacket barrel. I put the straight jacket barrel.
That thing was nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's a one-hole shooter, man. It was crazy. We switched suppressors up. So I'm shooting the Elite Iron. I brought originally this straight jacket barrel has a four-port Insight brake on it. You know, it's kind of PRS setup. It's a real heavy barrel, PRS style, thick, you know, long. And so I put the brake. Well, I knew coming up here that we wanted suppressed people on the line, and we had
full suppressed
lines. Yeah. Yep, yep. Both days, fully suppressed lines. So I threw a suppressor in. My bag, just a little, like a 4 or 5 inch one, not a great one, actually not a good one at all. And I put it in the bag and was using it. And Mark has the Elite Iron. What's the model on this guy?
STFU Light.
And so I replaced mine with that one. And so I had a ReZero. And we have these kind of Sniper's Hide eval targets that have, what, 25?
Yep, dots on them.
Dots and on it. And so there's silhouettes. A freaking ton of dots. And so I'm going to shoot it, and I don't know what it's going to do, because the scope that I have on, I have the zero compromise 4-20 on it, but originally this scope was on a Valkyrie. I've been moving stuff around. And so it had to be zeroed from the Valkyrie zero to my AT in the 6.5 Creed. Then I took off my other barrel that I was using, put on this straight jacket barrel. So I said, oh, I got to re-zero, plus suppressor change. So I shoot a 3-round group. I can't find a fucking hole. I'm like, there's no fucking holes in the paper, dude. Where is this? I'm lost. They were all in one hole. So there was only one hole on the page. So when we went down there to look for it, I was like, well, fuck, that's why I can't find it. It's a single damn hole.
Nice.
I was like,
love
goddamn.
Love when that happens, yep.
Yep, yep. Steve was with me, and he saw that. So, I mean, this straight jacket is just a hell of a barrel. And the recoil pulse is so nice. Because it's heavy. Now, don't get me wrong. It's heavy as shit. It makes this AT really heavy. It actually threw my bag. I talked about the Pelican airbag. I used the little shorty bag. And I had some extra stuff in there. But last trip with a similarly packed Pelican case, I was around 48 pounds, which was perfect. I'm like, great, 48 pounds. Well, you know, I sit up front, so I'm good with weight. But 48 was perfect. I threw all this stuff in there, and I was at 55, and all of it was coming from that barrel, because right. That barrel is so damn heavy. So me going from my lighter, shorter Palma barrels to this, you know, tire axle made a difference in my luggage weight for sure, but it was no drama because I didn't have to pay for it, so no big deal. But yeah, it just shoots lights out, man. It's just a great job those guys, the Straight Jacket Armory guys, did on this barrel. Just shoots really well. And I really like that suppressor. Dale made a nice suppressor with Elite Iron. It's a simple direct thread. What's the specs on that thing? He's got stainless inside on that guy and
yes.
Titanium on the outside?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's a blend.
Yep, yeah. Nice suppressor. Sounded good. Much better than the one I was using, because that was just a little shorty, loud one. You even said it. Goes, man, yeah. That can's kind of loud. And I said, yeah, it's a shitty one.
And it won't suffer your precision.
Yeah. And the Elite Iron did not at all. Yeah. It did not suffer my precision. It actually made it a little better. Put them all in one hole like that. Like I said, it was a damn single hole. So that was good.
And they're readily, what I like about them is they're readily available. 6 weeks to 8 weeks.
Well, I mean, yeah, talk about that. How yeah, everything's I mean, out, I mean, man. What,
Dale and
going.
I have been acquaintances and buddies for quite a long time, and I sell a lot of his bipods. You guys have heard that over the years. Beat you to death with that. But recently, you know, suppressors are becoming pretty hard to get, you know, 10, 12 months out. So I started peddling his Elite Iron suppressor, started using one, and now I'm selling the snot out of them, man. I'm really selling a lot of them, and everybody's really happy. Even the pistol suppressors. He makes a Black Rain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful suppressor.
Nice.
Beautiful. Yeah, it makes a shorter version and longer version. Shot my 380 today. 380
yep.
shot really quiet, didn't it?
With a Tyrant, yeah.
With a Tyrant, a short Tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was quiet. I was really impressed with that. It's an assassin's pistol, you know.
But yeah, yeah, yeah.
I carry it in my bag. I hope to never use it. Mm-hmm. But at least it'll be quiet. It'll be quiet if I use it.
Mark's all checking. He's like, oh, where'd my brass go? I want to make sure I know where
yeah,
it falls.
Yeah, where it kicks it to in case I have to pick up my brass one day. You know?
So. I was laughing. I'm like, it went 1 foot over here and 2 feet that
you
way. Know,
there's a thought, though. Yeah, you mm-hmm. may have to pick your brass up and hide
it. Yeah. You never know. Nope. You got a police brass, man. You know that. I had police brass, put it in the bucket at the range.
Yeah, and I'm a brass counter.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, so, no, it's been good, man. We're getting stuff done. We're just so dang busy and doing stuff, and it's like sit down for an hour. You want to decompress. You guys were in there watching the game and stuff. I'm in here listening to the race, you know, on the radio and everything because they're doing some construction in the lodge, so the satellite dish is down. This weekend, so we are kind of on our phones and using Sirius XM and all that crap to game and movies and stuff, and yeah, so we're just like, ah, man, we got a podcast. It's like, so I who was it? Somebody came on, like Carlos Danger or something, came on and was like, you know, it's been 9 days and you haven't published a podcast, and I'm like, yeah, maybe I'm on strike again, man. Give me a break.
There's only so much talking you can do. You guys would get tired of it if we did it too often.
Dude, I spoiled them. I spoiled you guys out there listening to this shit. I spoiled you by putting them like every 3 days and just being on, you know, we're up to like almost 300 episodes.
Yeah.
And I haven't taken time off nonstop. I mean, this kind of 2 weeks has been the worst gap that you guys had to suffer with me with the podcast since I started the damn thing, or, you know, we started it with Mike and everything. So it's just, it's like, hey, man, like Bryson was saying today, he gets in the car with his wife and the radio comes on and I'm on his podcast and it comes on the radio and the wife goes, do we really have to listen to Frank again today?
Exactly.
You know? And I'm like, do you really want to listen to Frank again today? Yep. I mean, come on, you guys got to be tired of hearing my voice already. It's not a good voice. And it's all, but so that turned out really good. Digging on that, loving the Zero. Everybody's, dude, Zero Compromisers are showing up here all over the place. James got a bunch. Mike Bender had his. Mine's up here. So the Zero Comps have been working good. Similar to the Callus. Mark running the Callus.
Yep, they track well.
Yeah, yeah. They look just, they're pretty similar. And so that's nice. I got that guy all set up and everything like that. What else has we got going on here? I don't know, man. I might have to make this one a shorty just to give you guys a
yeah. We got students break. Upstairs.
Yeah,
already,
we got all that crap so. Going on. Like I said, I'm a little shot, little mellow. It was a little nippy out today, a little cold. Everybody was shooting long today. The guys were even shooting their handguns to 300 yards.
Yep.
I mean, the plates are big enough. It's not like they're small plates. In
perfect shooting day though. We didn't have any sunlight. So there's none of those abnormalities we usually
right,
get.
Right.
You know, we had cool weather.
Yeah, crisp, cool air.
It was
beautiful.
Perfect. And a little bit of wind to play with. So.
And wind.
And it was steady.
And wind. So that was good. But we should just, another 10, what else did, let's hit a couple high points on the mover class again. What was the takeaway we did, the kind of the 1 second? A lot of the military guys in at the 1001, and then, you know, you kind of figure if you're in close or far away. And the 1001 was right on the thing. So basically, how you time in the movers, you know?
We saw a little bit of variance between left to right, right to left.
Yes, we did. At one point, and I don't know if it was, it crept up more as the day went on. So I don't know if maybe the cable was loosening a little bit from, I mean, because they were whacking the shit out of the plate and the thing's bouncing on the cable pretty hard sometimes. We actually had to stop a few guys because they were hitting it so hard. And so we did the 1001 method, and it works, man. It works really well. There's other methods. You can do multiple counts. You can time it in the Kestrels, you know, look through your spotter if you got a spotter, reticles or something. Hit the button on your Kestrel and time it. But we basically just had, you know, gave people a couple options. The rule of thumb we always used at Rifles Only was, you know, 0.6 per mile an hour. And it comes out to the same if you look at your software.
So it comes out pretty close.
Yeah, it's just a raw number for speed. And that worked out pretty well.
And that
well.
Works at 500.
Right? And I kind of used that when we did the 7 mile an hour run, because we put the mover up to 7 miles an hour. And when we first tried it, because I'd never used a Blink Troll before, and James only has like one evolution with the Blink Troll, so we had to learn that Ken Scopin system. And we still have to dig into the software, because the software is very deep, very malleable. Good software. I like.
Easy to use.
Yeah. But we were wanting to tweak and tune and play with things. And, of course, when you want to do it when you're using it, it never works.
Yeah, that wasn't the time to do it.
It wasn't the time. So we were doing just the low, medium, and high speed.
But a 4 mil lead is a lot of lead.
Yeah, so the first time, I took the first shot. I timed it the first shot and took a whack at it. I landed behind it and saw it. And I went, oh, fuck, that's a 4 mil lead.
I got to double this.
Yeah, I went, that's a 4 mil lead. And so then you only can get one shot at it per pass, really, when it's that fast. Yeah. So I basically came back to the center, took the first shot, missed behind it, said, oh, fuck, that's a 4 mil lead. And we don't have no berms or anything behind us, so luckily I was able to see my splash and catch it. I make sure when I shoot movers that I'm saying what I hit when I hit it. If you watch me shoot a mover, especially in kind of a non-comp type of setting, I'm calling my own stuff for me. I'm calling it out loud. And so I came in behind it at 7.7 miles an hour, it was, something like that. So then as it was racing back, I jumped up, leapfrogged 4 mils, and I whacked it second shot. So
and then students started doing
it. Yeah, and then students were whacking it when they shot it. So that was good as hell. They were getting the 4 mil leads. But then as it started to sag, it was 4 mils one way,
two and a half
the other way. And so then I like that because it makes the students get excited, kind of, they have to think, they have to understand what side of the reticle they're on, and it's making them a little bit more dynamic when it's doing something.
It was a visible difference in speed.
Yes.
You could tell when it was moving downhill, it was trucking. And it was just a little bit slower going uphill. So that's actually a good way to do business because it gives you two different passes, it gives you two different speeds.
Right. Yeah, I like that. I really did enjoy that. The Blink Troll, like I said, it's kind of a little Lego set, a way, you know, pins and things and wheels. But it took us about an hour to set up because, you know, we can't leave anything up here. You got to cable it. James made some pipe tripod type systems with like tractor trailer tire hubs, and he used that as a weighted base and then welded pipes up and then we used these
It's going to be a little bit labor intensive for you unless you have trees.
Trees are the best way to do it. If you come along to trees, it's money. That's the best way, and maybe, you know, I'm considering grabbing a Blink Troll for Colorado. And maybe I'd get like Austin Angus from AA Targets and have him build me like a tripod. And we were talking about to James last night, like a pulley system on top. So basically the spreader that gets the, because I got nothing on my range. I got no trees. So I want the wire to come over a pulley. And that way I can come along and maybe keep the tension a little bit better and do it that way. And maybe I'll have Austin build me some kind of tripod system for out there, because I mean, Carl Taylor's got his mover system, and Carl Taylor's in motion targets are great and they work really well, but they're more permanent, they're heavy, you got to transport them with a trailer and things like this. This Blink Troll just goes in a bag, in a box rather, and it's like I said, it's actually, the box is smaller than my rifle case, so and it can hold a single piece of steel or paper, so that's great.
We went to a smaller steel.
Yeah, we went to smaller steel.
Before we sent him away, we wanted to go away with a lead on a 2.3 mile an hour.
Yeah, two mile an hour. Yeah, it ended up being 2.3, but we mainly stuck to a 2 mile an hour mover, and then we moved them to a small 10 inch round that we used after we took we used the 66% or the first time IPSC 66. And then once we got that down, we swapped the plate out to a small 10-inch round. And then we did the 10-inch round with them. I did a 3-inch shooting seize on paper because paper at 100, 100's hard as shit. 100's ate everybody's lunch. Yeah. But I do a 3-inch shoot and see, but it allows me to shoot multiple shooters in relays. And they can kind of get their rhythm and practice with us kind of hovering over them a little bit better. And it has less weight, you know, because you only can shoot one guy at a time. And so that was one of the deals that
we... But it flowed pretty smooth.
Oh, it flowed real smooth.
Next guy was
Dude, we
tune.
Burned him out on it.
Yeah, yeah. Next guy was taking snaps. Everybody was taking snaps, you know.
Yeah.
Because the key to this is just do a lot of it, you know. And most guys shot, what, 100, 110 rounds in one day. That's a big round.
Well, no, that was the low end. That was Lonnie was 110.
Yeah.
Somebody told me they were at 165, I think it was, for
wow.
one day.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we did 165 for some of the guys who are eating its lunch.
Yeah.
Bryson and Joe Butler and those yeah. guys. Because they shoot PRS and stuff, and so they were eating it up. And so, but I would say the average, if we told somebody, you know, what are you going to bring to shoot? It'd be about 150, 140.
Yeah,
you know, 20 round number, 40 or 60. But again, we always tell people bring the 200 just because, you know, better to have it than not. But a 140 to 160 round count, I think, would be about right
yep.
for a 1-day mover class that we put on. And we're going to finesse it, fine-tune it. And the nice thing, like I said, James has two of them. So we were able to set one up at 100 and one up on steel so we didn't have to take one down and move it and stuff like that. But we'll see. We'll see what's going on. I think they're $3,000 for the Blink Troll system, where Carl Taylor's base system is like $8,000. But his system is, if you have a range set up.
That's what you want.
You want the tracks and the trolleys.
Yeah, it's indestructible.
Yep, yeah, you never beat it up. It can do a whole lot of fun things too. And one of the things I noticed, because of how we hung it, you have to be conscious of how high you hang it, because mm-hmm. Then the target's hanging below it, and then it bobs and bounces and does things like that when you start beating the snot out of it. But also, when I was doing paper, I normally would have my paper vertical and then line the shooting C's down the middle, and then that way each guy can line up on their shooting C and shoot them. But you have to hang the paper underneath it now, and yep. you can't hang it down that low. So I did it sideways, and then we just did like 3 targets on each end for people. But yeah, that went really well. No, really enjoyed it, man. The only time we knocked one tension wheel off, because we were just slamming it hard a couple times with the fast speed. So we knocked a tension wheel out of battery one time on it. And maybe twice.
Fix it, paint it.
Yeah, on. But I guess James said you can set like a slowdown so it won't slam into it as fast as we were doing. We had the bumpers up and all that, but a couple times it hit a bumper, and, you know, with the heavy plate and getting hit and swinging and bouncing, it loosened up a tension wheel, and then it just stopped moving. So you have to, you know, then bring the ladder down,
yep.
go up on the ladder, tighten it back up, and then it's up and running. But, I mean, we were done by 3:34 o'clock, because everybody was shot out.
Yep.
You know, that's a lot of rounds in one sitting.
It's a lot of concentration.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of that. All right, man, that's all I got. I think we're going to go up, see your students, take care of this stuff. Hope you guys are enjoying this. I'll be out of here Wednesday night. I'm going home, so I'll probably do a podcast on Wednesday or something for you. But I'm going to get this uploaded and get it taken care of, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. Go give me a comment. You got to motivate me, man. If you guys ain't motivating me, I'm gonna chill out and, you know, put my feet up a little bit. So if you want some motivation, give me some motivation. Talk to you guys later. I'm out.